The Lord is going to do something pretty awesome here today. He's already begun. His presence is here. He's going to do something pretty amazing here today. And we want to continue today. If you remember, we're in a sort of a topic for 2 weeks now. We've preached. And last week, how about Evangelist Sean? Was that awesome or what? He stepped right in and took us on further. And so thankful for them and for the impartation that they left here. But today we want to go into part three, For Your Glory. And you know, I told you in the beginning, I'll tell you again today, when I started into studying for these messages, I'm just the least bit intimidated, if that may not be the right word, a little overwhelmed at tackling such an enormous topic as the glory of God. Hopefully we will at least chip away and we will get some of the nuggets of what God wants to give us. But let me just tell you this right off. More than you taking home some notes on what glory means, I want you to experience the glory of God. And I want you through these series of messages, which will continue till probably the first week of December. I want you through these messages to know, first of all, the glory of God is on you. You've been created in the image and the likeness of Almighty God, creator of heavens and earth. And when he created you, he stamped you with his DNA, and his DNA is his glory. So I want you to read one verse of scripture with me, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Let's read that all out loud together. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Father, we thank you for your word. I know, Lord, we've already had prayer. We've already had worship. But right now, Lord, we just come to the soberness of this word today. We approach this subject, though it's so much more than a subject, with reverence and awe. And I ask you that when we leave here today, Father, what I've asked you in private, I ask you publicly now, Lord, demonstrate your glory to everyone who is open and ready to receive. In Jesus' name we pray, shout amen. Amen. So in your notes today, and I never know, because we do have new people coming every week, glory to God. So I never know if I need to bring people up to speed when we've done a series of messages like this. So there's some nuggets there. I'm not going to cover all of those right now. But you know, I would encourage you, take your message notes home, get out your Bible, and see if we're preaching right. Check up on us, fact check us, and just see, and see for yourself. And so there's some nuggets there, but the main thing is that you know that the Lord, our God, is full of glory. God is gloryful. He is gloryful, and glory is the weight of his splendor. The psalmist said, I'll meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor in Psalm 145. I will meditate, God, on your splendor. His glory is the weightiness, the heaviness, the significance. Shout significance. The significance of his splendor. And then, as I said, there's glory on us because he chose to put his glory on us. Psalm 8 tells us that we are crowned with glory. And crowned means, listen to this, it means surrounded and encircled by. It means all around me, when I'm in Christ, there is glory. Shout a covering of glory. All right, now I want you to really put your heart and soul when I ask you to talk. Shout a covering of glory. Now see, now you're all preachers. You sound like preachers now. That's what I need. And in fact, there's glory on everything that God made. And we can see that in the scriptures tell us that. Something happened in the Garden of Eden when God put his glory on mankind, on male and female, as he created them. Sin entered into the garden, and when sin entered in, they lost their covering of glory. And that is why to this day, we don't understand our worth. We don't understand our significance. We don't understand our purpose. That is why we have to work on things called self-esteem, because we lost the glory when sin came in. But here's the good gospel today. Are you ready? The Bible says Jesus Christ was manifest to destroy all the works of the devil, and that includes sin. Sin originated with the devil. And Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. But furthermore, we looked at Hebrews 2 that told us that he was manifest so that he could bring through his suffering many sons back to what? Oh, come on, preach it. Yeah, see, y'all got to talk the way I talk, okay? Bring many sons back to. See, there you go. Every one of you is a preacher. Every one of you is a preacher. All right. So that's pretty much where we ended. And then we were about to go into the benefits of a covering of glory right there on your sheet. I'm going to cover them real quickly. We're going somewhere today. I am so excited. You know what? The thing about being the preacher is that when you prepare and you pray and you study, you get to experience in private what God's going to do when you get up publicly. So you're always just a little bit out beyond because you know, and some of you already know because you're experiencing it anyway, but you're already out a little bit ahead because you got a lead, you know, but you tend to get real excited and sometimes get ahead of yourself because you know, oh God, it's so good. Let's just go ahead and get there. Let's just get there, Lord. What are the benefits of a covering of glory? What will be done for those who are under a covering, surrounded by, encircled by God's glory? Let me just say this because it wouldn't be fair to you to talk about a covering of glory without just telling you real quickly that there are several types of spiritual coverings. There's the blood covering. The love covering. There's a prayer covering, a worship covering. There's a covering of oil or anointing. There's a covering of glory. There's ministry coverings, which a ministry covering to me is what the local church that God has set you in. I can say you visit now and then. That God has set you in, what that church carries. And listen, I won't get too far out on this, but whatever the church carries is what covers your life. If I hear down through the years, don't let me get too far, God, here. If I get down through the years, I've heard people say, well, I was in this church, but I knew there was five people in the choir all sleeping with people they weren't married to. I said, well, then you're sitting under that covering of perversion. If it's there and it's not being dealt with, I'm just going to tell you the way it is. You're sitting under a covering of adultery and perversion. And guess what? Don't be surprised if you wake up and you got problems. Because you're sitting under. Now, if you're under a pure covering, nobody's perfect. I'm not judging any church, you understand. I'm talking about people. People have told me things that have been going on for years and years. It's not. There may be a time when somebody on our stage was doing. I don't know. You see, I'm not saying we're perfect, all right? But I'm saying when you're aware of it and you allow those things to continue, that is what you cover people with. So if you allow perversion in leadership, then you are releasing a covering of perversion. If you allow the glory of God in your midst, then how? You're releasing a covering of glory. Now again, don't misunderstand me. I didn't say any church or any leader is perfect. You got that? And God's grace redeems everybody and there's freedom available for everybody. But I'm talking to you about, when I talk about a covering, I'm talking about what you get when you are somewhere where God has placed you. And the reason I'm getting ahead of myself, the reason that we want and contend for the glory of God in this house is we want to cover this region with the glory of the Lord. It's not just so we can feel good here. It's not just so we can say, boy, I got blessed today. But it's because if I'm under a covering of glory, if this house experiences the glory, then everywhere we have a metron, an influence, we'll be releasing the glory of God. I don't want to release my personality all over this region. I want to release the glory of God. I want to release the love of God. I want people to want Jesus. All right, so some of you haven't understood yet that coming to church is more than coming to church. It is who is covering you and what is covering you. And what I'm preaching this month is just one of those coverings. And maybe next year we'll go back and touch on them all. We'll see. Bishop Hurd wrote a book about it. It do you good to read it. It's called Spiritual Coverings. All right, first of all, real quickly, benefits of a glory covering. First of all, it's what happens in you, and it changes your perspective. Isaiah experienced this in chapter 6 when he had the vision. And he said, I saw the Lord and I saw him on his throne, and the train, meaning his glory, filled the temple. And then the very next thing that happened is he said, I'm in for it because I'm a sinner. But then the angel took the thing off the altar, the coal off the altar, touched him. He said, your sins are forgiven. And then the next thing he heard, his whole perception changed. He went from, oh, I'm a sinner. I can't do anything. I better get out of here. That's the way some of you feel when you come to church and the preaching gets real heavy. You're like, I'm a sinner. I didn't. No. Let the anointing and the Holy Spirit touch you right now. And know there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness. Because then your perception will change like Isaiah's did. When you're under a covering of glory, all of a sudden you begin to see what God wants done. And he began to hear God say, I need somebody to go who will go for me. God is just asking who will go for me. And all of a sudden, he's not thinking about what a horrible sinner he is. All of a sudden, he's thinking about, Lord, if you need somebody, I'll be the one to go. Do you see? Your whole perception under a covenant of glory. Number one, your perception changes. Number two, you'll experience a spiritual immunity that's talked about in Psalm 91. A spiritual immunity. You know what the psalmist said? He said, there might be 1,000 fall over here, and there might be 10,000 fall over here, but it doesn't come near me. If there is ever a day we need to manifest Psalm 91, it's today. It's today. When just a few weeks ago, a gunman walked into a church and slaughtered half the congregation. Are you with me today? You better know that you walk under a covering of glory, because in that covering of glory, there's a spiritual immunity. And the psalmist lists, and it's anything from plagues to pestilence to disease to sin to people just falling around you in whatever way he was talking about in that day. But it starts out with, it's for those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. In other words, dwell in the glory covering. They are covered almost like the feathers, which means the wings around the throne of God. They're covered. We're right there in God, and they're being shielded and covered. Shout, spiritual immunity. Number three, it will change and accelerate the season that you are in. Everybody's in some season. You may be in a season of coming to God right now. You may be in a season of you've walked with God all your life and you're just saying, God, there's got to be more. What is it? Whatever season you're in. You know what we can base this on? Do you remember Aaron in the Old Testament who had his staff, his rod, a piece of petrified, dried up wood? But it was Aaron's season. And it was time for God to elevate Aaron before the people and let the people know he's the one I've chosen. And overnight, that dried up stick of wood budded like it was a brand new branch in spring. God will accelerate. Some say it like this. When you're walking in a covering of glory, the glory of God is on your life, what would have taken years will take months or weeks or days or minutes. God can do. God is not inside of time. So what a covering of glory does, and we see that there, but we see it many other places throughout the Word of God. It goes into number four. It changes the natural laws. And God did that over and over for his people Israel. He did that for Jesus. He did that for the apostles. God will still do that today at times when he needs just to defy the natural law and bring you to where you need to be. With Israel, it was enemy after enemy that they faced. And God would do things like, let's just part the Red Sea and have them walk on dry ground. Let's just part the Jordan when it's flood stage. It's the time of year that it's flooding its banks. But I'm ready to get my people into the place I've told them that they're going to possess. Let's just part this. Everybody say, breaking the natural law. Now see, the one who created the natural law is the one who can break it. And it's the manifestation of his glory. You may not want to hear this, but I'm just going to tell you. And then, I don't know, we may have to edit it out. You know, I'm always saying things that you have to edit out. But there have been times when we have prayed and pushed for something that we knew God wanted us to do. And right at the day that it was supposed to happen, there would be threats of tornado watches, thunderstorms. It would start to rain right up to the minute that we were ready to start. And we would begin to pray. And I usually pray like this because I don't know anything about weather patterns and all that's going on. I'm not a scientist by any means. But I will pray like this. God, I want you to stop it where we are. But don't cause anybody else to have it. Don't make it work. Because I know things shift. It's like, well, send it to Radford, God. You know, no. If you're for Radford, I got nothing against you. You know, but no, it's not like, okay, put it in the New River Valley. No, it's God, whatever you've got to do, break this thing here. Now, we speak to it because it's trying to hinder people from coming to God. You see what I'm saying? And we have seen it happen over and over again down through the years in this ministry. I've never seen the sun stand still yet like Joshua did. I've never seen seas that parted, but I do know someone. We did meet a missionary years ago who was in a place where they had to get across in an area in Mexico, and he literally drove. Oh, they're going to think I'm stupid now, okay? Okay. Okay, just everybody know I'm of sound mind. I'm going to the doctor this week. I'll get fully checked out. I'm of sound mind. He literally drove his Jeep with a whole bunch of men with him that were ministering into a river, and the Jeep went down under the water and came out the other side. God brought him out the other side, and not one of them shielded them from the water, because that was the only way they could get out of the area they need to get out of. That same missionary has seen several people raised from the dead. So before you start throwing stones and saying he's a lunatic, first time you raise a dead person, you can cast a stone, all right? All right. I'm just saying normal laws get suspended. Number five benefit of a glory covering is that an understanding of divine strategy will be downloaded to us. God did that over and over again for his nation, Israel, in the Old Testament. And at one point he even said, and we talked about this a few months ago, he even said, now here's the strategy to go fight this enemy, a literal physical army armies coming out against them. Put your singers right out front before you put your military. You see God's divine strategies. Put the trumpeters, put them next, and then, you know, with the percussion and whatever, you know. And then after that, then your army that's armed with the swords and the spears, then they can be there. But what God already knew was they weren't really going to have to fight anyway. But that's a divine strategy. Saints of God, I know that sounds like Old Testament Bible stories, but listen, the God of the universe, when you walk under the covering of his glory, will download his strategy into you. You may be looking at something as simple as your monthly budget and saying it doesn't work. It does not compute. This does not make sense. You may be looking at a doctor's report that says in every case we've ever seen, you have 4 to 6 months left. Are you listening to me this morning? But God says, here's my strategy for you. And when you open up to the Lord, he downloads that into you, businessmen and businesswomen. He downloads into you how to do a thing in a different way than anyone has ever done it. Shout divine strategies. Oh God, release this upon us, please. Release this upon us. Wake us up, Lord. Wake up our minds. We get so involved in doing things the way we've always done them. And God spoke to us here yesterday in prayer and said, get ready for the new. Get ready for the new. Get ready. Don't be afraid of the new. And in this moment, somebody that's zinging with right now, as I spoke that, somebody in this room pulled that just then. And the Lord says, don't be afraid, you individual. God does not show me who you are. Whoever you are this morning, when that zinged in you as soon as I said it, you take that word of God for you today. God says, do not be afraid to step out into that which is new. It may look foreign to you. It may look brand new to you. But I have had it ready your entire life. It is now your season to be accelerated into all that I have prepared. And indeed, says the Lord, this is only your beginning. This is only your beginning. This is, hey, did somebody feel like that was for you? Did somebody say, come on, take it right now. Take it, take it. Take that word. Let it be a download from heaven into you right now. And go walk it out. Walk it out. Walk it out. Walk it out. Number six, the enemy will be confounded and lose heart. To me, that means this. That means the devil will just have to call off his troops in your life, because he's going to say, come on, boys, this is a lost cause. I didn't say he wouldn't go try to re-strategize and come at you a different way, but I believe there's a place in the glory of God where the devil says, you might as well just forget it. This a done deal. They're sealed in the blood, and now they got that glory all over them. Number seven, the covering of glory will have such a radical effect upon our lives, and this is what I love, and this is where we're going today, that it will prompt the world to glorify God. The covering of glory will have such a radical effect upon churches and upon believers that it will prompt the world to glorify God. Others will be drawn to you. I'm experiencing some of that right now. And it's a little new to me. It shouldn't be at my age. But I have a tendency just to to see people as to, you know, you have, if you look around, you've got probably several service industry people in your life. You got somebody who does your hair. Ladies, some of us have somebody do our nails. You got somebody maybe who is your barber. You got somebody who maybe services your car. You got your Cox cable guy. Huh? Come on. You got... Not plugging Cox by any means. You know, you got different... But the thing about it is a lot of times... I tend to just think, you know, I need to pay them good. I need to tip them. You know, I need to show the love of Christ. But sometimes I forget that even though I'm going to them for a service, it's actually them being drawn to me. Now, I don't want you to think I'm getting proud in this. But what I'm beginning to understand is that sometimes when somebody who's supposed to just be cleaning your house starts opening up their whole life to you, and telling you things that you don't know if they've ever told anybody, you got to begin to understand the glory of God is in your house. And the world's being drawn. You got to understand, if that person begins, and you know, and you're thinking, wow, this is kind of strange. I don't really know them all that much. Do you know what's happening? The glory of the Lord is upon you, and it's prompting others to be drawn to you. Because of the verse that we read in Habakkuk, however you want to say it. And the verse we started with, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I believe that the world will be drawn to the church that is in the glory. Individually and even the church building. The church as we congregate together. Our small groups when we come together. In a day when the world is constantly fighting the church and opposing things that we stand for. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor Vanny? I'm talking about the murder of babies in the safest place they should be in their mother's womb. I'm talking about a world that fights for it and turns it around and calls it a reproductive right of a woman. I'm talking about a world who dishonors the family unit as God has put it together with father and mother and children, husband and wife, that God said when you come together, you cleave to one another, you leave mama and daddy, and you become one flesh. And Jesus said in the New Testament, for God in the beginning made them male and female, but yet the world is promoting transgenderism and telling us that we should not label anybody a male or a female. I'm not labeling anybody. I'm calling us what God called us. I'm calling us who God called us. God made you male and he made you female. And we should be very happy and very content. And I know that there's sometimes very complicated issues that are rooted in some of this. But the world is saying, church, you're bigoted. Church, you're homophobic. Church, you are out of touch. You need to soften up. And we're saying, we love God and we love you. But we cannot move off the Word of God. We cannot. The Word of God is our standard. The Word of God is our life. The Word of God is truth. We will love you. We'll be with you. We'll bleed with you and die for you if we have to. But we have to stand true to the truth. And in that, the glory of God is upon us as we stand in the truth of God. And I fully believe the world will be drawn to the church that stays in the glory. When the glory is manifested through the church, the Hebrew word for knowledge, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, means to know and to discern. It means like an awareness. In other words, the whole earth, shout the whole earth. The whole earth is going to be aware of the glory of the Lord. Mm-hmm. The whole earth will see the glory of the Lord. To what degree is that awareness of the glory going to manifest? That verse tells us to the same degree that waters cover the sea. That means entirely, totally, fully. That means that God is yet to put upon his church, as we allow and as we hunger, God is yet to put upon his church a manifestation of his glory, a covering of his glory, that everyone in this city will be at some point fully aware that the glory of God is here. That everywhere you go, everyone you know is fully aware. The whole earth will be filled with the awareness of the glory of the Lord. Shout in my life. Shout in my life. Shout in this church. it'd be so evident to the world that they are truly witnessing his glory. And there will, as there were in Acts, there will still be those who persecute and those who lie and those who make up. There will, these types of demon spirits will always be with us. They were with Jesus. They were in him. They crucified him. And they didn't know they were playing right into God's hand with that. They killed the apostles. They martyred the apostles. So they'll still be here trying to stir up the religious garbage. But the church that has the glory of the Lord will manifest, and those that want to really know God are going to come to the glory. Isaiah chapter 60. In March, a prophet and apostle of God stood here and said, this is a chapter for this church. Well, it's for us because it's in the Word of God. But sometimes there are seasons where a particular passage of Scripture is upon us, upon your life, upon a church for a particular reason. Follow along with me. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Madmen running trucks into crowds of people. Madman gunmen coming into a church. Who knows why? Domestic dispute, but decides, I just want to kill babies. Come on. Darkness shall cover the earth. Men who buy and sell little girls and little boys. Fathers who abuse their children. In the what should be the next safest place on earth, the home. Darkness shall cover the earth. Deep darkness shall cover the people. Everybody shout, but the Lord. Everybody shout, but the Lord. But the Lord will arise over you. And his glory will be seen upon you. No, you didn't hear it. And his glory will be seen upon you. Turn that around and say with me, and his glory will be seen upon me. Say it again, and his glory will be seen upon me. The Gentiles, meaning all nations, shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Arise, church. Arise, church of the living God in the earth today. Sean Smith says, I don't believe God would start a church in more glory than he would end that church. I don't believe God would start a church in Acts chapter 2 with a manifestation of the outpouring of his spirit and signs and wonders as you go through the book of Acts that have your head spinning. I don't believe God would start a church like that. But then when it's time for Jesus to wrap everything up and come back and rule and reign here, he would have some weak, anemic church that can barely pay their light bill. Do you understand? Are you ready? Are we ready, Apostle? Are we ready for what God is wanting to pour out and is already pouring out in the earth today? It is happening. It's not on the way. It is happening. Arise and shine. To the degree that a spiritual covering such as this church has experienced God's glory, it also becomes a covering of glory. You see, you cannot give what you do not have. Jesus said it this way, freely you receive, freely you give. It's the receiving that comes first. Freely you receive God's love, then you can freely give God's love. Freely you've been forgiven, freely you can forgive. Freely you have received the glory of God, freely you can become a covering of the glory of God. Peter said, I cannot give you what I do not have to the crippled man that was begging. I don't have the silver and gold that you're asking for, but what I do have is the authority of the name of Jesus, and I command you to stand up and walk. And he walked and he leaped and he danced and he worshiped God. He gave what he had. Shall I give what I have? See, we give out what we have. That's why it's so important that you come through freedom, that you get in a small group, that you come through some of our encounter experiences. Because if you're still bound up by bitterness and resentment, if you're still bound up by rejection, then you're giving out rejection. Then you are propelling people away from you who want to love you. If you're bound by bitterness, you're sowing bitterness into the earth. Your family doesn't understand why you're so mean and ugly. It's because you hadn't got free yet. But when you get free, you can give your family love. When you get free, when you've been forgiven, you can forgive the wayward son. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some think that God's glory no longer manifests. Some churches teach against miracles for today, teach against divine healing, teach against the casting out of devils and the supernatural acts of God. And I believe that it is because they have not personally experienced anything that I just mentioned. It's hard to believe what you haven't walked in. But yet you believe first. You believe before you see, you know. But it is very difficult to teach an accurate theology, say, on the Holy Spirit, if you personally have not experienced the Holy Spirit. So a lot of the theology of today is being based not on the Word of God, but on what somebody did not experience. So since I did not experience it, then I'm going to have my theology say this. And I'm going to go to those scriptures that look like they're backing up. Come on, somebody, help me here now. But I'm going to tell you, this ministry is poised and positioned for a manifestation and a visitation. And I don't mean a visitation that's just going to come for a minute and leave. A visitation that sits and rests and becomes a habitation in this house of the glory of God. We are connected with a church in Houston, Texas. You heard me earlier in the year reference this. Our spiritual father now, Bishop Richard Hurd, experienced something back in the 90s, the mid-90s, at their church there in Houston. He talks about it. He even told us the story about it one time when he was here. They were in a season as a church of a gnawing emptiness inside. They were in a season of frustration. He calls it a frustration funk. He calls it a divine depression. They were in a season of a church of God, there's got to be more. God, you've got to do something. Bishop Hurd had a guest speaker in. That guest speaker that night, really that day, the Lord so moved. He said, you know, is your schedule free next week? I think you need to come back. Now listen, I've got a reason for telling you this. I think you need to come back. The second week he came back, I think he had to rearrange his schedule, but Bishop Hurd said, I never do this. Can you come back a third week? I feel like God is wanting to do something. And that is exactly what I feel like right now. God is wanting to do something. And I believe there have been many times God has wanted to do something, but we wouldn't stop our agenda. We wouldn't stop our program. We wouldn't calm down our lives and wait on the Lord. Come on, somebody. I'm not trying to be mean today. I'm preaching to myself just as much as I am anyone in here today. On that third week at the 8:30 service, when they walked in, they could tangibly sense that something was different that day. The presence of God was, as in Isaiah 6, was completely filling the church there on Wallaceville Road in Houston. Isaiah 6 was happening before them. Bishop asked his guest, he said, are you ready to take the pulpit? And the guest looked at him and said, Pastor, I'm about half scared to walk up there and step up there right now because of what I feel. I sense God is about to do something in here. Bishop looked at him, and many times ministers will do this in the course of a worship service. It's like, do you have something? Do you have something? When you're sensitive to what God is wanting to do, you'll do that because you'll say, as a minister, this is your prayer. God, at any moment you need me out of the way, I'm gone. You do what you want to do. Use me to the point you're done using me. Wring me out like a dish rag, but then, Lord, I'm out of the way for you to do what you want to do. Amen? And so Bishop Hurd said to him, well, I think God has given me a scripture to read and then a word to speak to the people, just a prophetic word. He said, go, Pastor, go. Get in your pulpit. He stepped up to his pulpit, and he said, I feel like I should read 1 Chronicles. I think it's 2 Chronicles 7:14, and then I have a word from the Lord. And so he began to read, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. As he closed his Bible, he was visibly shaken, and he began to grip his pulpit, and he said, the word of the Lord to us today is this. And this is all he got out of his mouth. The word of the Lord today for us is this, he said. God said, stop seeking my benefits and start seeking my face. Stop seeking my hands and seek my face. God says, stop seeking benefits and seek him. And as those words came out of Bishop Hurd's mouth, instantly, he said, there was a clap that sounded like thunder. And the Spirit of the Lord, the glory of God, fell upon Bishop Hurd. And he was thrown backward. And for 2.5 hours, he laid under the presence of God. But what that power of God did, they had a pulpit that was made out of NASA-grade plexiglass. Here's the picture of it. NASA-grade plexiglass. Because of the impact of the power of God that came upon that church that day. That pulpit, that's the top of the pulpit laying on the floor. That pulpit was split. You see the diagonal split? That was sliced. That thick, heavy, NASA-grade plexiglass was split by the power of God. You said, did this happen in America? It happened in Houston, Texas. Phil Harrell was a member of that church at that time. We've been there since, and I snapped this picture. They don't enshrine this. They don't worship this. They just keep it. It's a memorial of something that God did. But God did so much more than split a pulpit. That was just the side effect of what God was doing in the church. The 11 o'clock time came for them to start their second service, because that was the 8:30 service. The 11 o'clock time, nobody had left. In fact, people were pouring in. At that 8:30 a.m. service lasted until 1:30 Monday morning. The church filled with people. Filled with people. People began to pour into the altars, climb over the pews to be able to get to the altars to say, I need to repent. I need to get right with God. Cars were turning into their property, not knowing why, saying something told me to turn in. People were getting out of their cars to try to get into the building. They were falling down in the parking lot, repenting, crying out, and the glory of God was upon them as they lay on their face before the Lord. People inside began to beg to be baptized, and for hours they baptized people in water. You say, why did that happen? God was ready and the people were ready, and God visited Houston, Texas with his glory at a church, and the name of the church is Christian Tabernacle. Now, there's a book written about that, but Bishop would not let the church name be used in that book because he didn't want to market the power of God. I respect that. He did not want to market and just have people come and gawk at some kind of show. No. So, Pastor Vanny, why do things like that happen? Well, let me tell you why it happened. Because 67 bona fide miracles took place during that 13 weeks that God sat his glory down upon that house. 7 were cured from cancer, and it was verifiable cancers that were healed. 3 were healed from profound deafness, and 1 was healed from blindness. Many, Bishop Hurd said, received an impartation that not only changed us forever, but also became our open doors for our destiny and for our ministry. Our missions program, he said, began to have a terrific impact. Our missions program around the world. And as you know, Bishop Hurd now goes to Africa almost every week of the year to establish more and more ministries there. And God began to use that church to literally touch the nations in a way that they had never done before. He said, for 13 weeks, we were unable to have church the way we ordinarily had church. The musicians would try to put their hands on their instruments and just begin to weep and not be able to play. Now, y'all, that kind of looks messy, doesn't it? That sounds like, oh, I don't know. I get a little unnerved. I'm not saying God's going to do that exact same thing. I'm just telling you about that, something that happened, and it happened only about 20 years ago, right here in America, right here in the life of someone that, are you ready? Whose covering we are under. For over 6 months, Bishop Hurd said, this is what I envy more than pulpit splitting. Bishop Hurd said, for 6 months, I walked daily in the divine presence of God uninterrupted as God worked on the pastor, the apostle. What God put in him that day is still going. People look at him, he's older than we are by just a little bit, but people look at him in an age when most people are retiring and most people are saying, let me have an easy life. He's doing more than 1 million flying hours a year. He's flying constantly. He's getting off airplanes and preaching and ministering to ministers and helping establish Bible schools in Africa. Then he's getting on an airplane. And listen, this ain't no four-hour ride. And he's coming back to America on a Friday night or a Saturday. And he's jumping into his church to have a staff meeting or a board meeting or a building committee meeting. And then he's getting up and preaching four sermons on Sunday so that he can grab a bag and get back to the Intercontinental Airport either Sunday night or early Monday morning and go do it all over again. You don't do that unless you're in the glory. Come on, some of you 60-somethings in here, that you don't do that unless you're in the glory. When a church has been touched by the glory of God, what I envy more than anything else is when he said, I have never, my walk with God has never been the same. He said, I live with an awareness of the presence of God constantly. Constantly. He's not saying that to brag. Okay, why you say that, Pastor Manny? Because we leave here today and we've got Thanksgiving dinner to cook and we got family coming, or else maybe we're going to depression because we don't have family coming. And we have our jobs, and we have those orders that we've got to fill, and we have those calls that we have to make, and those emails that we have to answer. And all of that is fine, and God will bless all of that. But what I want to know is that we walk in an awareness. I don't want to come out of the glory of God. Do you see what I'm saying this morning, church? I want the glory of God in the way that Bishop Hurd has experienced the glory of God, where I am constantly aware of his presence, where my life becomes... I don't mean you walk around super spiritual, speaking in tongues over everybody. I don't mean that. But then again, there may be times that you do. There may be times you have to speak in tongues because there's a demon about to stab you with a knife, and whatever you say in the spirit will arrest that thing and make him drop that knife and run. Oh, I am. I know you think I'm crazy now, but you just watch what God's going to do. Oh, God, show them. Show us. Show us, Lord. I'm talking now about a congregation, a gathering of people who experience the glory of God, like Acts chapter 2, and I'm done. Acts chapter 2 says, watch this. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. That sound was as a rushing mighty wind, like a tornado wind. And it filled the whole house. Shout, it filled the whole house. Where they were sitting. And verse 4 says, and they were all filled. They were all filled. They were all filled. And 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 they were all filled with the glory of God. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I ask you this. When the Holy Spirit came to earth, don't ever forget this. Who got filled first in that upper room? Who got filled first? Was it Peter? Because he's the one who preached and 3,000 got saved. Was it Mary? Because she had carried Jesus in her womb. Who was it got filled first? I want you to notice something, church. You say, why are we talking about the glory of God on the house? Let me tell you why. The house got filled first. The house got filled first. If the house doesn't have the glory, you're not going to get the glory. Why do we want to worship until the glory of God manifests? Because it was the house that got filled with the sound of the coming of the Spirit. And when the house is full, you will get full. When the house is filled, you will get filled. I need me an organ right now. When the house gets full, you are full. When the house gets blessed, you get blessed. Come on, somebody. A church that has experienced the glory of God can help others. A church that has not experienced the glory of God is helpless to help others. Shall we want the glory? Shall we want the glory? Stand, just go ahead and stand. Stand up. Come on. Come on, worship team. Shall we want the glory? Shall we want the glory? Are you ready for God to do in here today what he wanted to do when you walked in this morning? No. Are you ready? Is there a hunger? Is there a cry in you right now that says, God, I cannot live like this anymore? God, I